On Guardian Radio 96.9.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Surprise, surprise. It's hard to believe. Welcome to the accredited Guardian Radio Live. And it's a surprise that we actually in studio this weekend.
Yeah.
Live show.
I'm John Mark. And you can call today.
Definitely. Ricardo, well, so we're going to jump right into it. We got a busy, of course, everybody knows what went down in the NBA this past week. Of course, this is Super Bowl weekend. So it's a heavy, heavy, heavy week of sports. It's a lot to get to. So let me just tee up the phone lines and the text line so we can get the conversations going. If you want to join the conversation today, telephone lines are open. It's 323-6232-325-4316, 325-4259, or toll-free 242-300-5720. And you can hit us up on the text line at 422-GR96. That's 422-4796. You could also follow Guardian on all social media platforms. And let's get it, John. So,
I mean, it's been a while, but you were pretty able to read those numbers.
Oh, no, definitely. We can get back into the flow of things, but I feel like we're in good spaces right now. It's a lot been going on this past week. First of all, let's jump straight into the NBA talk.
Which is crazy because me and Al were talking about this. Al isn't here. He's in America. He might be at the Super Bowl. Who knows where he is.
Time of year.
We were talking about it, and we were like, it's crazy how the Super Bowl used to dominate the headlines for two straight weeks.
Yeah.
And it was always two straight weeks. And then we realized it doesn't matter who your employer is. They are not loyal to you.
Definitely. But see, that's the key thing about this whole process, because the way the Super Bowl was structured, it was structured in this way to give you that 2 weeks of full coverage. And I think the NBA has been, for the last couple of years, trying to find a way to infiltrate it. Of course, they have the little weird beef going on where the NFL took away some of the Christmas coverage.
Yeah.
So the NBA is firing back, getting into the middle of the Super Bowl.
Because if you remember, the trade deadline used to be after All-Star game. Because I'll never forget, Buddy got traded after the All-Star game to Sacramento when DeMarcus Cousins went to the Pelicans. So now, all of a sudden, they forced the agenda to say, hey, we're going to have relevance before the All-Star game.
Right.
Because remember, the All-Star game period for the NBA, and we'll be real about it,
it's been dull.
It's a dull period. It's just like the Pro Bowl in the NFL.
It used to be different, but now,
no one can, like, for me, in my opinion, I think they have to almost gain more, like, of the All-Star events and bring maybe some of those, like, social media dunkers in the competition. Just to, you know, it'll have their own separate thing, but put it a part of All-Star Week and just to showcase, like, hey, if you're on social media, like, for example, have Lethal Shooter shoot against the three-point champion or something like that. Make, like, how they had with the Sabrina.
That's one way to pick it up.
With the Sabrina Ionescu versus Steph Curry. Like, those are the type of things you have to have. And it's made All-Star Weekend for basketball more exciting. But nothing was more exciting. And I'll say this, as a fan, right? I just look at it, and you look at all these names. And I remember I went to sleep, and I woke up, and I had, like, a bunch of messages. You see what gone down?
Definitely.
Mind you, no one told me Luka got traded. It was, you see what gone down?
But see, that's the craziest part about this whole ordeal, and this is why some people are considered the biggest NBA trade deadline of all time, because what ended up happening is a lot of these moves, of course, you know about the Jimmy stuff that was rumored for a while.
Stuff
but a lot
was
of
always
these,
going to happen.
Right. But a lot of these moves, particularly the Luka Doncic trade to the Lakers, shout out to all my Laker fans, feel like we back for the rest of the year. Hopefully we could make a deep playoff run. But with that trade, what ended up happening just happened overnight. Mm-hmm. It surprised a lot of people. It was not discussed. There was no rumors about it.
There was no insiders, nothing.
It was just, hey, look at what happened.
But you know what I feel that this trade did?
Go ahead.
For this trade deadline, it absolutely ruined the market because you couldn't get what you thought you can get for players. For example, the Jimmy Butler, you might have been able to say, I'm thinking I'll get three first-round picks for him. All of a sudden, people are saying, hold on, Luka got traded for a bag of peanuts, a Snickers, and a future first-round pick.
No, but if you go back to when they signed the last CBA, this was the discussion around that. Because what they did is they put those tax incentives in mm-hmm. for teams that kind of maxed out. So you have teams like the Lakers, teams like the Mavericks were going to be if they cap Luka, where you move into the supermax with some of these players and you move yourself on what they call a second apron to get those heavy tax on your team. So you have teams like Dallas looking at it as like, hey, yeah, we have Luka Doncic, but do we want to incur that kind of tax penalty to keep a player like him that period of time?
Which I feel with, and this should be in all sports, just regardless when it comes to signing players. So, for example, Luka was eligible for Supermax for $315 million, somewhere around that range, right? What would the max have been? 250?
I think it's 265, 280,
so
depending on...
My thing is, it's just, I know they have bird rights, but they should just have, like, loyalty rights, I guess, where it'd be like, we can give you the Supermax at this price, but it's only going to cost us what a max would cost, because you want to have the incentive of keeping the players on your team.
Right.
Could you imagine if it was to the point where, God rest his soul, Kobe was in this situation where he would get a Supermax for $8 trillion, right?
No, that's what it would have been.
The Lakers might not have been able to afford that because the taxes would have been way more and just say, hey, let's just...
But see, this is what brings it down back to these big market teams. I don't understand how the CBA was negotiated this way. I don't know who's in charge of the players' union now. I think it may be still Chris Paul, is it?
I don't know.
But whoever agreed to this on the players' end is
I thought it was like Jake. No, that was before he was
coaching. Yeah, it's completely strange because what you have is a situation where teams can actually look at a player and say, hey, even though you're our best option to win, winning may be too expensive for us to move forward with you because we don't want to move into that tax bracket where we incur these penalties over time. And you have, again, these new ownership groups. They are moving to these
CJ McCollum is the president.
That explains
Grant Williams is the vice president.
Yeah, that explains a lot.
Mason Plumlee is the treasurer.
Oh, no, that's stressful times. But no, it gives a lot in this time because you have a lot of these new ownership groups who move into these NBA teams with the whole premise of the other business that comes with it. I think the rumor is in Dallas that the owner there is looking at a casino license and he's been denied by the city of Dallas. So he's almost on this whole, well, y'all not giving me what I want, I'm not going to give y'all what y'all want, mm-hmm. and I'm not going to incur these penalties to build a championship team. And this is the result of what actually happened.
Because in reality, Mark Cuban has his ways, but he would have never let this happen. Mark Cuban was so loyal with some players. Like, look at Dirk. Dirk could have been one-legged, and he would have been like, I got you.
But that is what the Mavericks organization has been built upon for so many years. The idea that, hey, if you stick with us, it's not going to be every year we compete. But when we do compete, it's going to be like nothing you've seen before. As a Laker fan looking at the Mavericks organization, you always celebrated the fact that those guys are going to be loyal to their players. You look at when they traded Steve Nash. It was still a process of them, you know, going through them, hey, we need to get better. Steve Nash is not the guy. Steve Nash eventually went on to win two MVPs, but he wasn't a guy in Dallas.
What's the biggest fleece? This trade or when David Stern vetoed this Chris Paul trade?
See, I still think the Pau Gasol trade is the biggest fleece because at the time, Aaron McKee wasn't playing for us. Now, what we gave up for Chris Paul would have been, if it went through, Pau and Lamar Odom. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't consider that a fleece. We gave up a lot to get a lot. But in the case of the Pau Gasol trade,
the Pau Gasol, to me, that was that's up there with this Luka trade.
Yeah.
Like, where it's the Lakers usually get who they want, and they'll figure out how to get it.
But see, this is where I want us to take this actual conversation about the Luka trade. Is the NBA now, in fact, back? We've had the struggle the entire year with the NBA ratings, teams not doing as well in terms of ticket sales. Is the NBA with this move? Case in point, Lakers are going to play their first game today with Luka Doncic. It's a 4 o'clock game. ESPN spent a ton to flex that game into their schedule. Could this be a sign that, hey, now with a show-stopping force like Luka now in LA alongside LeBron, is this the sign that the NBA is now making its comeback for the back half of the season?
Yes and no. Yes, to the point where this game will have crazy ratings because people are going to want to see it. And it's a Saturday, and it's just all the cards fell into the right place.
Pre-Super Bowl, Super Bowl is tomorrow.
Exactly, because everyone's jonesing to do something. Everybody wants to watch the big event. So you have this game before the Super Bowl, then they go into All-Star. My thing is, I feel, Adam Silver's been talking crazy lately with saying we're going to make the game shorter, right?
Right.
And I'm like, that's a FIBA thing. When I say that's a FIBA thing, you want to keep things separate from like the international play to what the NBA play is. It's just like when it comes to college basketball is 220-minute halves. then you're in quarters. If you move college basketball to four quarters, I think that changes how the game.
But I think he's just trying to find a way to keep the game relevant with the incursion. And sorry for the phrase, but the incursion of the European talent coming into the NBA, you now have, that's an audience that you have to find some way to attract.
But there's no player that goes to the NBA that complains about how the NBA is. But yes, they're going to say.
Yeah, plenty of players complain about.
No. They'll complain up to the point saying, oh, it's harder to score in this level. But they're not complaining about the fouls they're getting.
Fair point.
They're not complaining about it because they think the game is less physical. So that's going to help them earn more money in the long run.
Right. But again, this is, and I have to give Silver his credit because he's trying to find ways to try and make this game as attractive as possible. They have a big TV deal. That's going to come up in a few years and they're going to need to renew. But right now they need eligible stars in places that can actually,
you know, how you make the game audience bigger to a point? You have a mandate, which it ain't going to happen. But have a mandate of saying, hey, look, guys, we know that there's international basketball that's played throughout the year, right?
Right.
We should have international breaks so that you say, hey, because it's crazy when you think about it. But when Kai played here last time, people tuned in because they're like, oh, Kai Jones is playing. Like, I got to see what's going on.
Right.
More people will be in tune. It's going to give those players a rest. They're going to be able to play a different style of basketball and then go back to the season, just like a soccer does. A soccer has international breaks in between X, Y, Z. Well, I feel if you give the players that, then they come back more relaxed, more fresh, even though they're playing basketball, but they're playing less basketball.
But as we begin to make the transition into our Super Bowl conversation, before we leave the NBA talk, we just want to know, if you had to rate beyond the Luka one, we all know that's the biggest trade of the trade deadline.
That's the only trade.
Beyond the Luka trade, what are some of the other moves that stood out to you?
I mean, we knew Jimmy Butler was going to move, right?
All right.
And we know Jimmy Butler was playing hardball, or his agent was playing hardball.
Or it could be all Bradley Beal, yeah. Like everybody
but
said.
But what was surprising was they didn't lose Buddy in the trade.
Mm.
I thought Buddy was going to be one where he was going to be a part of any package, because his contract is $9 million a year. It's an attractive contract. It's a 4-year contract. And he's the type of player where you could just plug him in to be a shooter. Like, there's not much you have to really do. Be like, oh, come in the game, come shoot. Like, I thought he would have been great with the Heat, but Dennis Schroeder, boy, that one is the comments that he made.
Right.
When he said the NBA dead trade line is equivalent to modern day slavery. And now he's been on like 6 teams in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, because what you do is you don't call it you don't bite the hand that feeds you. That's the better phrase. And I think what the mistake he made is not so much so the criticism, is the timing in which he did it. Because what you set yourself up for is like GM's looking at you like, oh no, you calling out my move in particular. So now you put yourself on the chopping block no matter the team. And meanwhile, I think he ended up with like four teams in like 2 days.
He's making $13 million.
To him, but if you see somebody like
corporate NBA,
I just gotta say, you see somebody like Luka was up for $85 million, your $13 million does look like, hey, what am I doing? You know,
look, if I was getting paid $13 million, right, and you traded me to every news company here, I would not care.
Yeah, but the close of the conversation, like I said, I think this has been, if not the biggest, one of the biggest NBA trade deadlines in recent history. And I think this is the NBA's shot to try and figure out if we can not only make a comeback for the back half of the season, but start to position ourselves for those new contracts coming up, the TV deal, and what's not. But as we transition over to the NFL, I just want to remind you that the phone lines are open today. You can join the conversation. Let us know your thoughts on the NBA trade deadline. Let us know your thoughts on the Super Bowl. Telephone lines are open, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. Toll free at 300-5720. Or you can hit us up on the text line at 422-GR96. That's 422-4796. But the Super Bowl is tomorrow, John. How do you feel about it?
I mean,
we had the breakdown last week. We went,
yeah. You know. I'm thinking about it. Honestly, I feel like the more important thing is the gathering with people that you know than the actual game itself. Because the Dolphins ain't playing, so who really cares? It's just the point where we were talking about it before the airwaves turned on. I just hope it is a good game. That is what I'm hoping for. I'm not hoping for, you know, the game of the century. I just hoping for a good competitive game.
But John, why wouldn't it be a good game? As now I would say, we have two black quarterbacks. We have some of the best wide receivers in the game. We have the best running back away from
Let's put it this way. There's one quarterback that's mixed that got the arm talent from that.
So what's up with the other quarterback, John?
I don't have the confidence that he can make the big throw when it's needed.
Okay. So what do you feel like the game is going to come down to? Is it going to come down to the big throw? Is it going to come down to his arm?
Or
are we talking about his? We're talking, of course, about Jalen Hurts.
It all depends on Saquon Barkley.
All right.
That's what it depends on. If the Eagles could get that running game, it'll make Hurts' life easier because then he doesn't have to worry about making the big...
Like, but this is the point I've been making all season, and y'all is ridiculing me because y'all think I dislike black quarterbacks. I don't have an issue with black quarterbacks. My whole point about Jalen Hurts, you sometimes put your bad position when you can't make the key throws. It's the reason you have wide receivers and tight ends. They're there to stretch the defense. And I think oftentimes he put his team in a bad position because teams can now just load eight in the box and say, hey, we can try and get to him. We can try and get to Saquon before anything happens. Sometimes Saquon just makes the defense look bad.
No, if Saquon touches the ball and runs 70 yards for the first touchdown, then it's going to be a good game.
I don't know if he's going to go.
It's just that this is the one time you could say the Kansas City defense, in my opinion, is better than the offense. The only thing Kansas City has is you have an elite quarterback going to GOAT status that is able to win you a game. If you tell me it's Jalen Hurts with the last possession to get a touchdown, I'm not talking about getting a field goal now. I'm talking about getting a touchdown to win the game. Keeps it up by four. I don't think Hurts could do it.
I'm not saying that he can't do it. What I'm saying is, I think he's so predictable, especially in clutch moments. Again, look at what happened with Baltimore during the postseason. You have a predictable play. You have a predictable strategy. Teams at this level can read it out. And I just look at what Spagnuolo has been able to do, not just in this playoff run. In every playoff run, he's been able to dial up the correct blitz at the correct time. And I just don't see Jalen Hurts getting over
that. But he baits teams into it. Like, he would do something on purpose the entire game. Just for the one moment where you need it to say, hey, gotcha.
But, of course, in the Bahamas, we're all about fan bases. And, you know, for some strange reason, when I was in my heyday when it came to the Super Bowl with the Patriots, I didn't know there was a bunch of Kansas City Chiefs fans.
Boy, or but Eagles fans.
But I've seen a lot of Eagles fans.
I've seen Eagles, but boy, everyone having their flags. But let me say the example of Kansas City, right? I guess it's the equivalent of the Bulls when we were growing up.
All right.
There were kids, because Mahomes in the league, this is eighth year.
Yeah, just about.
So there are kids who literally were growing up, and this is all they've seen. This is the same thing as Tom Brady, the same thing as Michael Jordan. This is the same thing as LeBron James.
Yeah.
Those kids grew up in an era where it's like, all they saw was Patrick Mahomes. Like, all they saw was the Dolphins play, and you see the Dolphins play on TV, and you say, uh-uh.
But see, John, I would accept that if you grew up watching Pat Mahomes, he's been in the league 8 years. So if I give you the benefit of the doubt and you started watching football at 8 years old, you would be 16 now.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know where all of the Kansas City Chiefs fans that are in existence between the age of 18 and 35, where y'all been all my life.
But I could give the benefit of the doubt to 16. I could give that because sometimes, you know, there's no... If you grow up, because I don't know how you got into football... I got into football because of my dad, right? And my dad was a Dolphins fan. And I was blessed with the opportunity to have a crappy team. Meanwhile, my grandmother was from Massachusetts. So being a Patriots fan naturally would have been something where I could have been like, hey, I have a bunch of Super Bowls now. But right. I don't.
I guess for me, it's somewhat similar. My dad, he was a Rams fan. So one of the first big games I ever watched was, of course,
the Super Bowl.
Patriots versus the Rams. And I was like, I knew who Tom Brady was before that because we watched football every Sunday. But at that time, I was like, bro, y'all being disrespectful.
But how old were you?
I think that Super Bowl, I was about 9, maybe 10.
Yeah, so I feel like between, and this is just my opinion, between the ages of like 0 to like 14, that's where you're molded of what team you're going to pull for.
So that's why I tell people, if you want your kid to support a specific team, what you need to do is either direct them to it or put them in a position where they can watch that player be defeated in the worst way possible. So if you want your child or girl to be Eagles fan, maybe tomorrow is a good time to let them watch the game. Because they'll look at that and be like, oh, I really wanted that guy to win. And then 10, 15 years down the line, they'll be Eagles fans. But back to the game. New Orleans has had some tragedy over the last couple of weeks. They had the stuff that went down.
You didn't hear what happened last night, I think, one of the journalists was killed who was going to cover the game.
No.
Yeah.
How? Not
stabbed. Like, it was like, he was in a shady area probably, and then apparently they said there was credit card transactions, that type of stuff. So right. New Orleans isn't really getting a good rep right now. Remember when we went to New Orleans? Yes. And we said, man, yes, I really don't want to go back to New Orleans.
That's a conversation for all. But anyway, given everything that has happened with the city and now that tragic news, how should the NFL look at how they kind of police? Because I think even Trump announced he's going to go to the game. So that's even added more pressure to the situation. How does the NFL look at these future cities and say, hey, these are some of the things that we're going to need in place for us to consider your team for Super Bowl? Because I think the next couple of years, we have San Francisco, we have Atlanta, I think we have Indianapolis at one point, and I think either Tampa Bay or Miami. How does the NFL look to say, hey, we need to figure out to make these environments a lot safer?
Well, the crazy thing is, like, the person who used to like be the SID or the bowl director for Bahamas Bowl,
right,
used to do Super Bowl credentials. And he told me, and he said it's a tier one FBI background check. So anyone who applies for a Super Bowl credential,
right,
gets an FBI background check. So they do their part in making it as safe as possible for whoever is in the stadium,
right,
to do what they have to do. They have their checkpoints. They have all of that. Now, when I went to the World Cup, it was like you couldn't drive within a mile of the stadium. So I don't know if the Super Bowl is the same concept, which I don't think so, depending on where you are. But it's going to probably get to the point where they're going to have a checkpoint saying cannot drive past this thing and you got to walk the rest of the way.
Again, you mentioned our time in New Orleans. It's hard to do in a city like New Orleans because the stadium is literally right next to major thoroughfares.
Yep.
So if you try to block off this, you'll literally be blocking main road veins for your entire city. But I guess over time, how many times has New Orleans hosted the Super Bowl?
A lot. I think it's like 8 or 9 or 10.
I think they have a strategy in place. They just have to find a better way to police the streets prior to.
The problem is the stuff that happened before the Super Bowl with the New Year's.
Is it Bourbon Street, Joe?
Yeah. Remember we went to Bourbon Street and we didn't like it, and then we went to and we ended up going to a Manny Fresh concert.
I don't know.
At the French Quarter. And it was just like, how did this happen?
By complete accident, by the way. But yeah, New Orleans is just a different mood, but it's a different spirit. But going back to the game, I'm not sure if I'm 100% on the Patrick Mahomes train watching the coverage of the game.
You're not on it, or you don't believe it?
I don't want to be on it. So I've been looking at the previews to the game, seeing some of the key points, some of the...
Because Tom is commentating this game, right?
Yeah.
So let's ask this. As a Patriots fan, right, do you think Tom Brady is going to be more of like, he could do this a little better if he wanted that three-peat?
Let me say it like this. Listening to him this past week, it shocked me how relaxed somebody becomes in retirement. Because Tom Brady, he has such a high competitive spirit. Listen to him just talk about his MVP choice. He, of course, voted for Lamar Jackson. And his breakdown about it was...
That's a whole nother...
We get that up before we finish. But his whole breakdown on it had more to do with Lamar Jackson's talent in key moments. I talked about it all year, and I'm surprised we differed on it. I thought in big key moments, Josh Allen was the better player. But when Tom made the breakdown, not saying that I was swayed by the GOAT, but when he made the breakdown, he made very, very clear points. The idea that Josh Allen only had 3 big moments compared to Lamar Jackson, who had 8 key moments. And in those 8 key moments, if you look at the statistics, not just the end result, the statistics, it showed that he performed better in clutch moments. And I was like, that's actually pretty smart. And then he flipped the script and did the same thing with the Super Bowl. And he was talking about Jalen Hurts versus Patrick Mahomes. And he was like, Patrick Mahomes is literally unfathomable in these kind of moments.
Yeah.
It's hard to break him down. It's hard to get him flustered. And he went back to the time they played them in the Super Bowl. Tom was like, a lot of people look at the Super Bowl and think it was just a run in the park. I had to go out there and earn that. 40-something-year-old me had to go out there and outmatch a kid who was giving me everything that he had. And I looked at it and I was like, when you hear somebody of Tom Brady's stature say that about Patrick Mahomes, you realize that, dude actually is pretty talented. He has the ability to go first.
That's age. All of a sudden, he just said, hey, this guy throws the ball harder than me, faster than me, could run faster. I have to use my brain to be able to win this game. Even though Mahomes is a smart quarterback, Tom knew what it was.
Yeah, but go ahead. To give the picks, I'm leaning Chiefs.
All three.
I'm leaning Chiefs to get the three-peat, but I want my heart of hearts to say, and I want the Eagles to get it just to protect that last bit of Tom Brady law.
Before I make my pick, I don't care who wins. That's just the first thing. I want a good game. I can't go against Patrick Mahomes. I just can't do it. And the same way how you say the heartbreak of losing the Super Bowl
shapes you.
Exactly. But I know Hurts has lost one and Patrick has lost one. Hurts lost one to this team. I feel like Patrick is going to use the motivation. Like, I still lost Super Bowl that I shouldn't have lost.
Fair point. I want to give you the last 5 minutes before we take it to half to go on your MVP run. Because I know you were Saquon all the way.
I thought Saquon should have won the Super Bowl. I mean,
6 first place votes.
Yeah, no, it's ridiculous. And that just goes to show how everyone just values a position way too much. When Saquon is the one, you take Saquon off the Eagles, they don't make the playoffs. It's just that simple, I believe.
I agree.
I could say the same thing about Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen.
Yeah.
But also, what are the odds of you saying that a running back could do that?
I don't think the odds are high.
It's less likely that you could change a running back and still get production. The thing I have is the Josh Allen. This is like the LeBron fatigue when it comes to MVP in the NBA. They were tired of Lamar winning. Lamar's numbers were insane. Lamar was the first team All-Pro. Josh Allen wasn't first team All-Pro.
The other thing about the MVP voters, majority of them pick Lamar for first team and then flipped it on the MVP vote. Again,
How do you do that? That's like when LeBron should have won Defensive Player of the Year, but it went to Marc Gasol and he was second team. It's like they need to like have a proper vetting process to make sure it's just like you can't contradict yourself in one way. To then give it to...
I think they just need to change the system because they rush it down the stretch. They wait till week 18 and say we need it in the next two hours.
This is how the system should be. You vote for the All-Pro team, right? Whoever makes first team is eligible to be MVP. If you don't make NFL All... And then you have a vote after the All-Pro team. So you do it in pairs. Yeah. So you make your All-Pro team. So then people make sure that they're voting properly for the All-Pro team. And then when you get your All-Pro team... The 22 or 24, or however many players make the All-Pro team, are eligible to then go be MVP.
I like the system. But we're going to take it to half when we come back after the break. We're going to dive into some local conversation. John had BISS playoffs and championships this week.
Just playoffs.
Championships next week. So we'll dive into that conversation when we come back. Thanks for joining us on The Accredited.
Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.
You try to rest, but roll with the best. For all your printing needs, there ain't no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers, for window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located at the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Pinder is carrying a new line of tile, the Sky Series of Porcelain. Comes in 4 colors, tones, and shades. There's Sky Noir, Sky Azure, Sky Glance, and this one, Sky Gris. Sky Gris, as you'd imagine, gives you a smoky kind of feel. It's not heavy and depressing, but gives the area a chill feeling. The Sky Series comes in 2 formats, 24 by 24 at 530 a square foot, 12 by 24 at 525 a square foot. I really like this series for big spaces, and being porcelain, they can take a lot of traffic. The Sky Series at Pinder Tile.
All those loans I had were so overwhelming. Fidelity's debt consolidation loan combined all my loan payments into one easy payment with a built-in savings plan that pays me unbeatable interest. It's time to make that move to Fidelity. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
It's time to upgrade the way you enjoy at-home entertainment. Alive Fiber is here. Enjoy all your favorite channels and streaming apps all at lightning fast internet speeds with affordable bundles, and it's only a click away. Visit www.alivefiber.com to sign up now. Stay connected, live your life. It's good to be alive.
Looking for another way to save on your grocery bill? Then look no more. My Solomon Smart Rewards, the ultimate loyalty program. To start earning Smart Rewards every time you shop Solomon's, Fresh Market, and Exuma Markets. Loyalty members earn 1 point every dollar spent, and points can be earned and redeemed in all participating locations. Don't be left out of the savings. In Nassau, Grand Bahama, or Exuma today, start earning your Smart Rewards.
Start the making all the right money moves. Budgeting and saving? Yes. Investing? Check. But what if you could do more? With an RF brokerage account, you can get priority access to local investment opportunities right as they come to the market. Never miss a bond or new share offering again. Plus, you can house all your investments in one place and benefit from expert investment advice. Contact us at brokerage@rfgroup.com to start doing more today. Some conditions apply. RF, money at work.
Always on the go? Missed a show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
Welcome back to The Accredited, live on Guardian Radio. Busy week. Telephone lines are open if you want to join the conversation. Text lines are also open, but we're going to move into the local portion of the show. Jonas, you set up right before the break. BISS playoffs is underway, basketball playoffs.
Yeah, GSSAA playoffs was going on as well. So those two, I guess, series of events is now over for the championship. Like, let's just put it... this way, it's been a long week. As you know, we actually streamed the BAI.
That's why I laughed just now, because there's the professional end of the conversation that we're going to have, and we're going to recap some of the games. We're going to recap who's now in the finals and where those left off. But then this, the second part of the conversation that we need to have. It's not just because we are 10YS and we try to push these games up. We try to put them on a platform to get people to shine. It has a lot more to do with the fact that it's a lot of work, and a lot of the people that need to facilitate options like this to happen aren't really doing their fair share. So let's just recap the games first.
Yeah, so my thing with BISS basketball, and it's unfortunate to say, but basketball's not in a good state in this country. And I mean that for everything, GSSAA and BISS.
And this is coming from somebody who's been running the game, especially and locally, for years.
The biggest thing with that would be is COVID took a hit with what we have. Right. Because we just lost 2 years of basketball. And you can see you lost 2 years of development, 2 years of playing games. We're at the point now where it's like, I think it's going to take another 3 to 4 years before we can start saying, oh, that kid who plays? Yeah, he definitely could be playing in college. He definitely could be doing this. Like, Frederick, you had those one-offs to Fredericks and Franco's. But Franco's before pandemic.
All right.
But, you know, we've had players here who's had talent, but then they had to have gone off. Javez Colby is one where he played last year. So you have those diamonds there. But basketball is rough, and I feel that a lot of it has to do with coaching. Unfortunately, I'm going to go to the coaching side of it, because if you're playing a basketball game, right? And people could be mad at me if I say how I'm going to say, if you're down 50-3 in the fourth quarter with 4 minutes to go, there is no point to put on a full court press, right? There needs to be rules implemented to run the clock, to have a mercy rule, because now you're making the game not fun for the other team.
All right. All right. No, the point I was going to make is I understand your point about coaching, but at the same time, this is where the structure of the system comes in. What you have is a situation where You train these coaches. I'm not saying the coaches in the high school game are not trained or they don't understand the sport of basketball. What I am saying is there should be a level of training that coaches sit through, a seminar, something before the season.
You get a license.
That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying.
To me, it's not really going to matter to a point because when you see this, they just want to win.
Right.
And if winning consists of you taking one player to dribble the ball down the court, to lay up the ball and just go past everyone, because if you watch some of these basketball games, and I'm going to go back to the girls' game more than the boys' game, because at least the boys' game has a little more flow to it, right? A girls' game takes an hour and a half to play for 6 minute quarters. The boys' games maybe average hour 15 minutes because there's more flow to it. There's always jump balls. They can't dribble the ball. When one person's dribbling, you have five people running behind like it's a cartoon. It's like, that isn't basketball. Unfortunately, that's not basketball. We have players here, girl players, who are actually good basketball players, but we're not getting them to their potential because the competition they're playing is nothing like, yes, you can go and you can make a layup every single time, right? That's great, but now do a jump shot. But the most annoying thing is you're calling timeouts down 40 with 30 seconds left in the game. What's that going to do? That's going to do nothing. You're running the press against a team who can't dribble the ball up. It's like, what is that going to do? That doesn't prove any points whatsoever. Yay, you won BISS game by 40 points.
So how could we go about ways to improve the quality of the local game?
It all comes down to the fundamentals of coaching of the games, because in reality it's the coach implements a practice plan, right? I don't know what they practice, right? But if they're practicing something, they're probably practicing stuff that's unrealistic and maybe like pass, shoot. And then when they get in the game, it's just there's no spacing, there's no nothing. I honestly think you have to go back to camps, fundamentals, and being able to spread the court out to a certain point. Because
I know we often go back and forth amongst ourselves about, you know, the old timers and what they represent and how they get to play a role in developing not only basketball in the country, but all of our sports disciplines. I think when we often talk to them, what we hear from them is the fact that a lot of these programs now lack teaching. From the standpoint that you touched on the fundamentals, the systems, the goals. But away from that, they said that back in the day, the whole premise was we had the idea that you could go off. You could go someplace else and become better at the game. Now that's not happening. A lot of these kids,
they're losing hope.
Yeah.
I was talking to someone there. Literally, he said a lot of these kids are losing hope. Where I remember before pandemic, you would have 4 to 5 kids a year going off to high school to be able to play, right? And it was just a natural thing. Now, all of a sudden, like I said, people are going to watch it, right? And I'm not saying this to be negative for the thing. I don't think it's a good product. I have a basketball eye to be able to identify.
That's why I said earlier, the years of experience.
I have a basketball to identify. This is just like the girl from C.W. Saunders, Bain's the last name. I think she has potential to do something, but she's not going to have it here.
Right.
Tajanik Morley from CB Bethel, Varel Davis is coaching her. She has potential to be something, but it's not going to happen here. Like, they have the dog in them to be able to play basketball. They have the it factor, I feel, those two athletes who are at the junior level.
All right, before we flip it over and open up the phone lines, can you just give us a recap on the run of the BSS playoffs? Who advanced?
Oh, so St. John's advanced in everything.
Okay.
Let's just put it that way. And I know for senior boys, it's QC St. John's. Junior boys, it's Prince Will, St. John's. Senior girls, it's Kingsway, St. John's. And junior girls, it's C.W. Saunders and St. John's.
So, see, this is why I'm happy that Ronaldo's actually not in studio. It's his birthday this weekend. So
It's today.
So, if you are not on any social media, just tell him happy birthday from us and everybody else. But he would have been an absolute brat since he came in here to have this conversation about St. John's advancing at all levels and coming off of the Junior John Canoe win that was a few weeks back. So, I'm happy that that didn't happen, but I'm happy for St. John's. On the GSSA side?
GSSA, I really got to look into the...
All right. So we give you time to pull that up. But relative to our conversation that we had
Go ahead. Senior boys is C.I. Gibson and Anatole. It's going to be in the championship. Those games were last night. I unfortunately didn't go to those games because I was tired from BEISS. Senior girls is C.I. Gibson versus C.B. Beth. Is it C.B. Beth though? C.B. Beth was senior school too?
Yeah.
See, this is the thing that's confusing with somebody because I know Doris is the same way.
Yeah.
Or to a point where it's
they could feel the junior
team. Yeah, they could feel
depending on the age
category. Yeah. So, all right. So that's that. And then it's D.W. Davis in both junior.
They've had a legacy over the last.
Oh, yeah. They've been winning. So it's D.W. and C.B. Bethel in the girls. And then it's D.W. Davis versus, I can't even think, but I think it's like C.B. Bethel again or something.
But what we touched on during the break off air, we had a discussion about the struggles of trying to get funding because, as everybody knows now, we try to stream a lot of these games. We push them out on social media. We push them out on social media to try to get some eyes on the product, to actually try and build up the culture of basketball here. And John has been very, very stressed out trying to figure out a way to keep it going from a 10YS standpoint. So I'll give you the space to get that off.
I mean, the thing is, and we always tell and we always preach it, we always feel that there's more that could be done in the community through, if it's Corporate Bahamas and if Ricardo says, through government, right? So it's always those are the two entities.
Funding is key.
Yeah, in the country who are able to help fund things, right? Now, we've been around for 10 years. We've been covering these events for 10 years since the inception of pretty much when we were 9 years, because we started in August, so it would have been the following year, right? So we made it a mandate on our part to say, hey, we need to help with the exposure of XYZ, right? Now, we can do our part and we can do what we can do, but at the end of the day, everything always comes down to funding,
right?
People, you know, we read the comments. People are excited that the game's going on. Yeah, people appreciate it, but then you start reading some of the comments, and not that I care, but yeah, where's the commentary? Guess what? You got to have money to pay for commentary.
Yeah.
Man, where's that second camera angle that we could have in the game that we used to? Guess what? That costs money too.
But see, let me just jump in right there and say this, and this is where a lot of people, I hear the chatter, I see the chatter, and I often tell people, you have to understand, from a personal standpoint, 10YS started with roughly 3 people. We had more people join as time went on, but still, these are people with full-time jobs, people with families, people with kids.
It was a volunteer base.
It still is.
Yeah.
And I think oftentimes people look at it and think that we're in, because the amount of work that gets done, that we're in some group with representatives from the government, in some group with representatives from some Olympic committee or some major sports entity. We're doing all of this out of pocket.
Yeah.
Every aspect is all out of pocket. And when we go, BSS is under the belt, the track and field meet, GSSSA, their track and field meet, all of these things are done out of pocket, just showing up and trying to be there to support these kids and give them the opportunity to get that spotlight, because that's what makes the difference. And I think oftentimes people miss that fact. It's not the idea of us just saying, hey, we need funding to do this and that. We have to understand how vitally important it is to grow these sports.
No, but it's crazy important, because I actually, and it's crazy because it doesn't really happen a lot, but I was at the supermarket yesterday and somebody saw me, and you're pushing the trolley and you're just like trying to get out the way, say, yeah, excuse me. And then he sees, hold on, no, I got to come give you a dap. And he's like, he's like, I played BISS basketball in the 90s.
All right.
And he's like, I've always, what you guys are doing now is incredible and it's great to see. And trust me, that's the reason we do it. Like, yes, we know money has to be involved to be able to take it to the next level. But the reason we do it is because we play BISS basketball. Uh-huh. We knew what it was to be able to just do it and no one knows anything. Uh-huh. Just like we'll keep saying, the Prince World year in 2003, who was the only loss? Me, the Prince World killer. But
2003 was 22 years ago, John.
Yeah, but this is the thing. Like, we don't have those memories. Right. Especially like in the playoffs. So, for example,
when everything is now digital.
Exactly. 22 years ago, imagine if we had the footage on YouTube of Prince World winning the championship.
Yeah.
That just takes the whole thing to a different level where you could see the last 8 years, you could go to our YouTube page and see, oh, this is what the BI says playoffs
we,
and stuff.
We talked about it before the break with the Super Bowl, and we talked about, hey, how kids fall in love with these things is going through that ability to see a winner, to see a loser, to feel that passion, to feel that joy. That is what we try to give every time we cover a live event. We want persons to look at that and be like, wow, I actually feel, hey, Principal played a good game. I always used to say one of my favorite high school basketball players of all time, Azaro. Like,
yeah,
the reason I fell in love with
Dominic and Azaro, like, they were throwing alley-oops off the bat. They were doing
in
stuff
the middle of
that was fun.
Of gyms. And I'm like, this is the kind of thing that builds the sport.
Azaro was like our first highlight when I never forget when I posted that. That just got crazy views.
Yeah.
But see, the thing is, so we had a coach come to us from CW Saunders, and he said, this is after last year when they won a championship. He said, I lost the best two players on my team because you guys broadcast these games. No, but he said in a positive way. He's like, you guys broadcast this game, and coaches called, gave them scholarships to go off to the States.
That's what we're here for.
Think of the value now. Think of the value. Because remember, track, and I tell people this all the time, track and field is you're running numbers. Mm-hmm. So I could be in the back of the bush and run a number, and that number is going to get put up to whatever.
Yeah.
But you have these kids. They might average 5 points, but a coach might see them and say, but I want to get a chance on this guy. He's athletic. He has a good IQ. And we got to look at it at this point. For every kid that could go off, you could just equate that to a $50,000 scholarship. Just off the bat.
Nah. I take these kind of conversations back to the conversations you'd have with my dad when I first got into sports, is the idea that everything you do matters. And I think oftentimes we don't look at that connection. We see kids run up and down in impoverished neighborhoods, and we say to ourselves, they don't have anything else to do. It's vehicles like this. It's sports that gives them something to do. You could have a track meet on a Saturday. If you go to one of these private schools, they all prepare for track meets on the weekend. You can go to one of those track meets and you can see them put up numbers that are going to be documented, that are going to be recorded, that are going to be sent all over the world for persons to look at and say, hey, there's a top-tier talent somewhere in Nassau that we need to go and see. It's the same thing that we could do for basketball. It's the same thing that we could do for softball. It's the same thing we could do for flag football, American football, whatever the sport is. It starts off with the ability for us as a country to look at these kids, to look at this game and say, hey, there's skill there. There's ability there that we need to grow. We need to cultivate as a community. And I think oftentimes that's where we miss the mark. And my criticism of the government and your criticism of corporate Bahamas is all the same. Mm-hmm. It's the idea that we throw money, that we throw time, that we throw all of this energy behind things that don't really pan out to anything. When we have the ability in moments like this to build hope, to build dreams, to build up kids to become better adults as they go on to do what they need to do. And I feel like we miss that.
And the thing is, and I know I've said it before and I'll keep saying it, we want to make sure that our own is relevant.
Yeah.
This is one thing that I do get tired of. When these kids go to the States, they get way more love from the U.S. Fox media market. All of a sudden, these people start telling all these stories. Oh, he only started playing basketball 2 years ago. He was
I heard the story so much during Aiden's run.
But now we have stuff documented. So 95% of the time they're making stuff up now just to try to push a story out that isn't true. Yeah.
I'm not faulting the stories because builds the lore. Yeah,
95% of the time, you could say from the last 7 years,
right,
if a kid went off to the States to do whatever or as a prospect, we were there.
Right.
Look at VJ. Look at the footage we have of VJ at 13 years old. You know who else has that? Nobody. We have these players documented now from the beginning of their basketball careers. And the point is, we have to keep doing that. And we have to do it in all sports. But we keep doing that. You keep having, you have people watching the game who can't even go out and do it. But now they feel a part of it. It's a community you build. It's like, what do you want them talking about? Luka and the Lakers playing tonight? Or C.I. Gibson versus Anatol Rogers? What do you want them talking about? Yeah. You want them talking about the stuff that's happening locally here to be like, boy, you see that shot he made? You see them highlight tapes that we got? So it's just like, we got to give it to our own and protect our own and promote our own.
Right. That's the way we started off the show today. We start off the show talking about how big of a week it was in the NBA. We went into how big of a weekend it's going to be for the NFL. I hate to say it. It should have been not seeing look for BISS playoffs and championship. It should have been a big week. It should have been set up in a way where all eyes were on our high school athletes this past week. Tuesday should have been a big tip-off of the playoffs. We could have had a show. We could have had a tie-in from any of the news stations just to say, hey, there's a big game going on tonight. This team is on their search for their fourth, their fifth, their sixth, whatever championships they're in search of. That's where you build a narrative. That is where you start to cultivate the passion and the love for these sports. And that's how you give back to these kids and let them know that, hey, when you do good, the entire country is watching. When you do good, the entire world is watching. You give them something to want to look forward to. And right now, we don't do that.
And this is where me, like I said, there's a lot of meetings off air that me and Carter had today. And the one we agreed on was, why can't we just merge these basketball leagues together? And I understand BISS is private, but you want them to be able to play, right? As much competition as they can.
All right.
Granted, let's say the merge doesn't happen. Then we could have like little invites throughout the year, like, you know, slotted in. Let's say that doesn't happen with the invites of playing each other. Why can't we figure out, and this is just baffles me, like, for some reason, I feel like Kendall Isaacs is Fort Knox sometimes. It's there. Let's use it. Why can we not then say, hey, we have four big games this week, right? Four big games.
All right.
Why can't we just say it's private and government school? Let's put those four games one day in Kendall Isaacs and try to sell the gym out to be able to say, hey, you're going to get
high school showcase.
Exactly. You're going to get the quality games on a Friday night at Kendall Isaacs. Let's go. You're going to see all the best local basketball talent. Because here's the thing. You could throw the small schools in a game. You could throw a BISS. You could throw a GSSA. Let us see all the talent in one place for one day and see how it works. More people will come out to watch that than you expect.
All I'm saying is I've spent a lot of time putting on promotions. I've spent a lot of time trying to rework brands. I've spent a lot of time just trying to fundamentally shift the way that we see marketing in this country. So when I look at sports in this country, I see it as the dollar value that it could potentially be. I look at things
like... We're the only country that doesn't use sports as a billion-dollar industry.
And this
But we use it when the people come down these events.
I was just about to say, this is where we kind of missed the mark. And to all credit to the Fox Foundation, who's going around to some of our public high schools and building pools, I said to myself, like, I respect what you're doing with the pools, but that should have been gyms. That should have been proper gyms. Whether you're refurbishing the ones at C.H. Reeves, R.M. Bailey, D.W. Davis, C.I. Gibson, AF Adley, C.V. Whether you're refurbishing or building brand new gyms to take these guys off of the hard concrete courts outside some of these schools and putting them in gyms and actually getting them to play in environments to get them used to the game.
Like, I know private school and government school are run by different entities.
Don't need to be.
I understand.
From a sports perspective.
From a sports perspective, it doesn't have to. But my take with this is, we need to do something to get BISS out of playing outdoor basketball. Because
that... It stunts the development of the player.
It does stunt the development. If it rains, you don't play. You get games canceled. The win. We need to figure out a way how to say, hey, BISS could use the gym just like GSSA could use a gym. I know the government schools and the government school gyms. But there needs to be a way to say, hey, it's like track and field. You don't go and say, hey, BISS, you're going to use a new stadium. And GSSA, we're going to have you go run that dirt track over there.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't happen. So there needs to be a way to say, hey, BISS, GSSA have to play games indoors. Case just ended that way. The more games you play indoors, the more stuff we could try to do, the more exposure the players would get, the more exposure the leagues will get now, right? Now, if TV was such a terrible thing, we wouldn't be able to watch Super Bowl on TV. TV could generate revenue just as much as ticket sales could generate revenue.
I hate to say it. I've been in meetings. I've been a part of the push to try and get your brand on ZNest during Junkanoo. It's doable. People spend good money on shows like this. As long as you can guarantee viewers, you have some company or that wants to spend money to get their product, to get their service in front of viewers. And that's what I think oftentimes we miss about this. It's just a program a lot of times for persons to say, hey, well, we had the games. but what could you have done while you were showcasing the game? All of these elements I feel like we miss.
There are things that you could do a whole production, pre-game show, post-game show, you name it. Everything has a cost to it. I always say that. You're not going to lie with that. But at the end of the day, if you want a product that is going to be a great product, money has to be involved some way. It just can't be, 10 YS could be out there and do it.
So I got a quick text from somebody, John, that they just want me to push this little note into you. Good day, great show as usual. Can you let John know that we need more updated videos on YouTube? I watch the BISS games and I have to scroll and search to find new and updated games. Question, could they find Hugh Campbell game from 89 to 95? Keep up the great work.
Well, we don't...
Take the first spot.
So the only way I'm going to be able to update games like that is if the games are played in a proper location. No, and this is just the honest to God truth.
Go ahead.
The game's got to be played at Kendall Isaacs because that's the only place that is going to be able to allow me...
That has the infrastructure exactly to allow you to do it. Record.
Now, the other places have infrastructure, but we cannot set up and break down every
That's
day.
What I mean.
That's a big issue. Anytime we do a game at Kendall Isaacs, yes, we will upload the game. If we do any game anywhere, we will upload games that we have to YouTube. The problem is, and this is why I say... People got to play indoors.
Yeah.
It's too far and few in between for us to have these games. So I agree with, we don't have enough content of basketball on it. I 100% agree with it. Do I want more content? Yes, but there needs to be avenues for us to get it. And there needs to be conversations with the leagues and us to say, can we do to be able to get more games on?
And see, I just want to stick the note right there. That's all we've been pushing for, is to have the conversation of how we could support the game better. It's not that we want to be involved in your planning. It's not that we want to be involved in your structure. It's simply that, hey, you guys have a big game. We have the equipment and technology to broadcast that game.
Mm-hmm.
Facilitate the opportunity for us to get into the gym, for us to set up, and for us to go ahead and live stream. That's all we want.
And then Hugh Campbell's just a whole different animal. We tried to do stuff one time. We were told we couldn't do it. And from that day, I said, I'm not doing anything. And this was free now. Right. This was free because they said we were interfering with ticket sales and all this type of stuff. I don't know what it was. It was just a bunch of crap. We were trying to help promote.
I don't think you can say that. I don't think you can say that.
Yeah, you can. I didn't say any curse words. But anyways, and then from that day, I said, you know what? No, because you know what Hugh Campbell is? It's a fundraiser. It's a fundraiser for something.
Can't take them shots, John.
You can. I'm not doing their events. Okay. It's just that simple. Until we could have a proper conversation of why.
All right.
I was just there trying to help promote the event, Family Island Schools, for people who wouldn't be able to go. And then they made it into a deal because they said, I can still record, but I can't live stream. I said, I'm going home.
Yeah. And I think that was the same year that I had to follow up with them over the idea that in order for you, because after they barred us from doing the recording, doing the live stream, they opted to just give out little
quick 15-second.
Not even 15. Little post to say, will this team beat this? I was like, why would you just, at the end of the game, just post? People are sitting at their jobs, unable to go, unable to be a part of it. Why wouldn't you give access for us to have that? Like, that's it. But again, it's these sorts of things that we're constantly trying to work through. And from the sponsorship or the corporate end, if you want to be a part of anything that we're trying to do over at 10YS, whether it's this radio show or any of our live streams, you could reach out to us or reach out to me directly at 827-1360. Let's start the conversation to try and move some things forward. But John, close us out. Anything you want us to look forward to from a local end going into next week?
I mean, next week is all BISS and GSSA playoffs at Kendall Isaacs. Hopefully St. John's goes out there strong. Now is going to be out there. We are going to be broadcasting those games.
Is he going to be commentating?
Yes, you should be commenting.
See, this is where the problem
starts. We're trying to up the product for this one,
all right,
as opposed to the other ones because
it's because it's in Jot.
No, it's just because it's championships.
Okay,
that's all it is.
Yeah. But relative to the rest of that, I think we're also teeing up to start the track meet. I think track and field season is going to open up.
Yeah, March 5th to 7th, BISS track and field. Then I don't know when the GSSA dates are, but for sure we're trying to making an attempt to do everything.
Yeah. So if you want to, of course, we're going to be live streaming, but if we want to take that live stream to the next level. So if you want to be a part of it from a sponsor standpoint, again, you can reach out to me directly, Ricardo at 827-1360. We're trying our hardest to make these things work. And if you want to support, if you want to lend a helping hand, this is the perfect way to do so. But as we move on, John, let you know his Super Bowl picks. Again, for the people just tuning in.
Los Chiefs.
I'm also leaning to the Chiefs.
Oh,
I'm
thinking
with my heart that the Eagles find a way to pull it off. Now is also going to lead towards the Chiefs, even though he's out today. That has been the Accredited on February 8th. Thank you for joining the show. We'll see you again, hopefully live next week. Take care, Bahamas.